Joseph and the things that God did in his life. And give a little insert, a word. Brother Stacy Shiflett was with us, of course, for our missions conference. Going to be back this next year for our missions conference. He is just finished putting out another book, and it's on the four coats of Joseph. He had preached a series of messages probably 2 or 3 years ago, maybe a little longer than that, and showed the parallels between the four coats that are mentioned in Genesis to the life of Christ. And he's put that now into a book form and just put that out as well. And I was telling my Sunday school class earlier as well that he has sent off his dissertation through Calvary there in Eufaula to get his doctorate. So praise the Lord for that. He'll be a doctor next time we see him. Amen. And it'll be very surgical. That'll be fun. Grab your Bibles. Go to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter number one. Psalms chapter number one. We are glad that you're in church today. And don't get discouraged because people are out of town. It's part of vacationing. It's part of the process. It's summertime. That's what happens right before school starts. And we're getting back into the thick of things. And everybody will be back in their place come tonight and this week and then next weekend as well. And so Psalms chapter number one, let's see what God has for us today. It is a familiar passage. It's a familiar chapter. But please don't let familiarity breed contempt in your life. Please don't allow the familiarity of the Scripture cause you to just disregard the truth. When you get there to Psalms chapter 1, stand with me. Psalms chapter number 1. It's a passage of Scripture that we have our students memorize in the Christian school early on in life. And then, of course, we bring it back out as well as time sees fit. But Psalms chapter number 1, we're going to read the whole chapter. It's just 6 verses. It says, "Blessed," or blessed, "is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree." This is talking about the man "planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Here the Bible tells us very specifically how we can be blessed according to verses 1 through 6. And we're going to get to all of that here. But the title of the message this morning is, "I Want to Be Blessed." I want to be blessed. If we were to go around the room, the congregation this morning, and ask if you want to have a life that is blessed by God, every one of us would agree that we want to be blessed. We would want to have the blessings of God upon our lives. And God gives us very particular things to follow here in this passage on how we can be blessed. So we're going to look at all of that here this morning. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Lord, I want to be blessed by you. I want to live my life in such a way that it garners the blessings of God. Paul put it this way in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. He said, "that I may win Christ." Lord, we want to win your approval in our lives. We want you to look down upon us and say that you're proud of us as your children. Not in an ungodly way, but Lord, knowing that we've done the things that we're supposed to do. Lord, we don't seek after pride and arrogance. We're to humble ourselves in your sight. You know, we know you'll lift us up in due time. But Lord, we want to live our lives being blessed by you. And Lord, there's so many blessings that you give us. Your word says you daily load us with benefits. But sometimes, Lord, we get so busy looking at all the problems of life, and we get so busy looking at all the instances and things going on that we miss out on your blessings. Help us, Lord, to focus on the blessings you have for us, but also help us to live our lives in such a way that would garner your blessing upon us. Use us, guide us, please. We ask these things in your name and pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. There's several things that we're going to get to before we get into the actual message here. But I want you to see here in this passage that God tells us specifically and exactly how that we are to be blessed.
You'll notice in verses 1, 2, and 3, we see in verse 1 the word blessed. Now, the word blessed, we know, according even in the New Testament, when the Beatitudes are given in Matthew chapter number 5, the word blessed can be translated or can be defined as happy. And we know that we can be blessed and we can be happy. When you have blessings, you're excited and you're happy about what God is doing. So notice here, in verse number 1, we see that we have happy men or blessed men. In verse number 2, we see that we have holy men, men that are delighting in the law of the Lord. And in verse number 3, we have what we call healthy men. Men that are producing the fruit that they ought to be producing. Listen, a tree that does not bear fruit is a tree that is not healthy. Trees that are growing are healthy trees. We were door knocking on Thursday night out in Hartshorn, and I told my son, we walked by a tree, and that tree had no leaves on it whatsoever. We are at the end of summertime. That tree had no greenery on it whatsoever. That tree was dead. It was just limbs. I said, if there's no leaves on it by now, that tree is not going to grow. The tree is dead. It needs to be cut down. It needs to be cast away. It's done for. There's no life that is there. It's just taking up space at this point. Here we know that we are going to be healthy in our Christian life if we are bearing the fruit that we are to bear. And the Bible says the leaf also will not wither. So here we see happy men. Here we see holy men. But here we also see healthy men. We also see in verses 1, 2, and 3, we see that we ought to be living a life of separation. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Let me explain to you here. There is a digression of sin that takes place in verse number 1. Here he starts out walking in their counsel. Here he then moves to standing in their presence, and then he begins to sit and become a part of them. Notice the digression here. He starts out with walking. When you walk with sinners, you're going to begin to condone the sin that they are participating in. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? And so when you're walking with somebody that's practicing a life of sin, when you're walking with somebody that's walking into a bar, you're walking with somebody that's living vicariously in sin and doing the things that they are doing, you are literally condoning that lifestyle. You are putting your stamp of approval upon it. You say, well, I go in there just to be with them and I don't partake in any of it. The Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. It means we ought not be in that place. We ought not be doing things that look like that. Here we see, blessed is the man that walketh not. Walking begins to condone sin. Then notice there is standing in the way of sinners. Here when he goes from walking to standing, he goes from condoning the sin to now considering the sin. See, now he's gotten to the point to where he's no longer just condoning and he's no longer just being there agreeing with it, but now he's considering on doing it himself. Listen, the longer somebody sits at a bar, the more they consider taking a drink. The longer somebody hangs out with somebody who's smoking, the more they begin to draw to that scent and draw to that feeling and draw to those flavors. They want to be a part of those things. And so you go from condoning to now considering the sin. See, the longer you hang out with your coworkers and the longer they cuss around you, the more that gets stuck in your mind and the more you consider saying those very words. Because trash in, then trash out. You see, when we hang around the wrong crowd for too long, whether we believe it or not or whether we really fully understand it, that wrong crowd begins to rub off on us. That wrong crowd begins to become a part of us. And we begin to subtly and even unconsciously begin to do the things that they are doing. Why? Because we seek approval. We're humans. Humans seek approval from others that they are around. And so why do you think children do the things that their parents do? Because they want to be approved by their parents. They want to be a part of what's going on. They follow what they see and they do what they see. They do what their parents are doing. So here we walk, and that is condoning sin. Here we stand, and that is us considering the sin. Now notice, here he says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. When somebody is sitting down in the seat of the scornful, they've gone from condoning the sin, they've gone from considering the sin, to now they have compromised fully into that sin. Now they've become a part of that. Now they're no longer just walking with them. Now they're no longer considering it and standing with them. Now they're actively participating in that sin. And this is the digression of sin in our lives. It happens this way every single time. Nobody just jumps off a cliff. It happens slow and steady. Sin is that way. The Bible says that a man, when he goes into sin, he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. There are certain things that you're going to be enticed by that others may not be enticed by. Some of you may have a history of alcohol abuse in your family. You may be more prone to go into an alcoholic lifestyle. I don't like using the word alcoholism because then it sounds like a disease, okay? It's a choice. Amen. And so here you go into an alcoholic lifestyle, and some are more prone to that because they have a history of that, whereas others aren't interested in any of that at all. Me, I have absolutely no desire to drink anything. From a child, that was instilled into me because my mama was raised in a drunkard's home. Because my mama knows what it's like for an adult to come home and to beat their wife and their children in a drunken tune. My mom's dad, when I was 6 or 7 years old, I was telling Brother Thoreau about this the other day. I was 6 or 7 years old. My grandpa blew his head off after he got drunk one day. Because others didn't like the things that was going on, and he got in this drunken rage and he shot himself in the head. See, there was an idea. There's things that maybe appeal to somebody else that may not appeal to you. So a man is enticed and drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And the Bible says, and lust, when it had conceived, bringeth forth sin. You see, when temptation and opportunity meet, sin follow. Every single time. When there's a temptation and you're going to succumb to that temptation with an opportunity and Satan brings the two things together, then the sin will follow. Temptation and opportunity lead to sin. Lust, when I conceive, bringeth forth sin. And sin, the Bible says, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. There will always be death in your life. It may not always be a physical death. It will lead to an eventual physical death. But there's going to be a death of a relationship. There's going to be a death of a scenario. Maybe a death of a job. And maybe a death of different things in your life. Sin always brings death. So here we see the man. If he wants to be a happy man, a blessed man, he cannot condone sin. He cannot consider that sin. And he cannot compromise into that life of sin. But then you notice in verse 2 it says, but there's the exact opposite. His delight or his consideration, his contemplation, his thought process, his delight is in the law of the Lord, the Word of God. So here we're going to look at three aspects in this passage. I want you to notice. That's all by way of introduction. Three aspects in this passage on how we can live a life that is blessed. I want to live a life that's filled with the blessings of God. You, I believe that's why you're in church this morning, because you want to live a life that's full of the blessings of God. We're going to raise our children receiving the blessings of God. Listen, there's going to be two choices, either blessings or cursings. One or the other. That's what Moses told the children of Israel. That's what Joshua told the children of Israel. Either blessings or cursings. And we've got to choose, do I want the blessings of God or do I want the cursing of God? I get the blessings by following God. I get the curses by not following God. One or the other. And we got those choices in front of us. And here God tells us exactly how we can be blessed. So first and foremost, in verse 1, I want you to notice, in order for us to be blessed, there are three words that I want you to remember. Number one, the first word is deliberate. Be deliberate. Be deliberate. The word deliberate means intentional. It means to make a conscious decision. It means that you are intensely focused on certain things. To be deliberate about something, when you sit down, families, when you sit down at the end of a month to prepare the next month's budget, you got to be deliberate about things, right? We prepare a budget to tell our money where to go, not so we can find out at the end of the month where did all our money go, right? And so we got to be deliberate about those things. When you take and you plan for a school year, and many of you parents have begun to do that. You go and you buy your children the clothes that they need, the things that they need for school. But hopefully, before you go to the store, you're very deliberate in finding out what things they still need. Very deliberate in finding out, oh, do the clothes fit them from last year? Do I need to buy new things? Do they have the right kind of shoes? Do they have the right kind of socks? Do they have the things that they need? You got to be very deliberate about this. And so there's very intentional here. God says blessed or blessed is the man. So there's some intentionality that's here in verse number 1. Notice what it says in verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Here, if you're going to be blessed by God, you need to be deliberate and you need to be careful with whom you step. Be careful with whom you step. This isn't just for young people. This is for us as adults as well. See, there's a lot of times, Brother Nick, where we hear messages, and especially at youth conference and church camp, hear messages geared towards young people about the right kind of friends that they ought to have and about separating from the wrong kind of friends. But you know what? I've come to find, Brother Throw, as I've gotten older, that young people aren't the only ones that struggle with their friends. Adults struggle with friends. There are times where us as adults, we try to, quote-unquote, reconnect with old friends that we've not seen after years. Listen, let me go ahead and tell you this. There's a reason they're called old friends. And there's a reason that you've lost connection along the way. And we need to be mindful not to allow sinful practices and sinful presences back into our lives when God has changed us from the way that we used to be. I've seen far too many folks. And Facebook and social media has been a big component of this, where they've reconnected with old friends and with old flames. And it's wrecked and it's ruined marriages. It's wrecked and it's ruined relationships, all because they wanted to reconnect with somebody that they've lost contact with. A few years ago, I reconnected with a friend of mine I've lost some contact with over the years. We had some conversations. We had some good conversations over the phone. We've texted back and forth a little bit since then. But there's not been much communication. Okay? There are times where, yes, you may try to reconnect with somebody. But listen, if they're not going the direction that you're going, then you can't compromise your morals and your principles and your values. And you can't compromise the scripture in your life just to walk with an old friend because you miss having the camaraderie. The Bible still says in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? You've got to have some things that you're agreed upon. I've come to find that best friends that you thought they were going to be best friends forever through your childhood and through your teen years, as you grow up, you go on different paths. Brother Nick, I'm sure this is familiar in your life as well, Miss Chrissy as well, where you had friends that were in high school and you're not really friends today. You're going two completely different directions. You've lost contact. Why? Because they're not going the same direction. They're not following after God. Do you try to be an influence if you're able to? Absolutely. If there's times where you see them in town, do you be friendly? Absolutely. But listen, we're not going the same direction. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You got to be very mindful with where you're getting your counsel from. Be very mindful with where you're getting your advice from. I said this on Wednesday night. Please, whatever you do, don't get your doctrine from Facebook and TikTok, bless God. Don't get your doctrine from YouTube. Get your doctrine from the Word of God. Get your counsel from wise people. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Don't just go to one person that you think is going to agree with you on an issue. No, go to somebody that you know is more spiritual than you and you value their spiritual opinion. There are times where we need to get counsel from other folks. We don't need a bunch of people just to agree with us in sinful practices. We need people who are going to hold us accountable to the things of God. And again, accountability is a word that some people just don't like. But the reality is we need it in our Christian lives. I was listening to an interview started the other day and I finished it early this morning. An interview that a man of God was having, and somebody had asked him what would happen, or what would his friends in the ministry cover up for him if he were to, quote unquote, fall into sin. He made the statement, he said, I don't have friends like that. I don't have friends that cover up sin. I have friends that hold people accountable. And if there's an issue in my life, they're going to call me on the carpet on that. And by the way, that ought to be every one of us. Not have people in our lives that can condone sin. Not have people in our lives that are going to push things under the rug. But rather, we have people in our lives that are going to give us good and godly counsel. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So that stands to reckon, if I'm blessed for not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, that means that I'm going to lose a blessing if I do walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Does that make sense? If I get a blessing from not listening to their counsel, that means I'm going to lose my blessing by listening to their counsel. The very opposite is true as well. So here, be careful or deliberate with whom you step. Also, in verse 1, we see that we ought to be careful and deliberate with whom we stand. It says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. There are always going to be times in your life where things are going to come out and accusations are going to be made against different people. Be very mindful that you need to hear both sides of the story before you begin to blindly follow after a man. Okay? Don't just automatically say, well, he's my friend and I'm going to stand with him no matter what. Well, listen, if he's living in sin and if he's the one that's in the wrong, I'm not going to stand with him. I'm going to stand against him. And we've got to be mindful in those areas. Be careful, be deliberate about whom you stand with. The Bible says not to stand in the way of sinners. The Bible says also in the book of Proverbs, there is a way. You look up the word way and you're going to find a lot of truths about it. The Bible says there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, when you're standing in the way of sinners, that means you're following in their path. You're doing the things that they are doing. You're participating in the things that they are participating in. And I told you, when you're standing, you are considering that sin. And then also, we need to be careful with whom we sit. It says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We need to be careful. We need to be deliberate with whom we are sitting. I've come to find, my youth director used to always say it, but I've come to find it is very true that birds of the feather flock together. You find a rebellious, if you're a rebellious child, you're going to find a rebellious crowd. It's going to be there. We go to church camp there in Arkansas. While we were there at church camp, they had, I think, the second largest group they've ever had. They set a record a few weeks after we were there. They had 550-something campers. It was a ridiculous amount of kids that were there. We had 480-something people that were there that week. And you can always spot, Brother Thoreau, you've been in church long enough, you can always spot the rebels. They're always associated together. They run in their little packs. They sit together during the service. They sit, and the majority of the time, they're mocking the man of God while he's preaching the Word of God. They're mocking people as they're going down to the altar getting right with God. That's why the Bible says, sitting in the seat of the scornful. You see, someone who's scornful is somebody who's mocking the people as they're serving God. They're making fun of those that are living for Christ. Here, this guy, listen, notice, he goes from walking to standing to sitting. Meaning that he has made a conscious decision to sit down and to be a part of their fellowship. To sit down and be a part of their crowd. To sit down and do the things that they are doing. I chose a long time ago, as a young person, that regardless of what everybody else was doing, I wasn't going to sit in the seat of the scornful. My youth director taught us that I'm never going to be angry, upset, or make a mockery of somebody who has a higher standard than I do. I'm going to thank God for somebody like that. I'm going to thank God for somebody that would help keep accountable the people of God. By the way, none of us are above somebody trying to help keep us accountable. Amen. Amen. Here, to be blessed, we must be, number one, deliberate. Number two, I want you to notice in verses 2 and 3, if we're going to be blessed, not only should we be deliberate, but secondly, we got to be dedicated. We need to be dedicated. We've got to be deliberate in our actions, but now we've got to be dedicated in our attitude and our fellowship. Notice verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So again, I told you, verse number 2 starts with a conjunction. Here's an English class before school starts, okay? Crash course. But is a contrasting word. It tells us the opposite. So if the blessing is in verse 1, then the blessing for those that are not walking in the counsel of God, not standing in the way of sinners, not sitting in the seat of the scornful, so we're not doing those things. The contrast is then given in verse 2 of what I ought to be doing. His delight's in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. Notice verse number 3, it starts with a conjunction as well. The word and. And is a conjunction that joins two thoughts. Okay? So it joins two thoughts. It joins what's being said in verse 2 and what's being said in verse 3. By the way, young people, this is why you need to learn English. Because it helps you understand your Bible a little better. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And so because he is doing these things, look at verse 3. He shall be like a tree. There's a promise attached to this. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So here, we've got to be dedicated. Notice in verse 2, we find in being dedicated, there's five aspects. We must be prepared. We must be prepared. Verse 2 says, His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, notice, doth He meditate day and night. The word meditate is used several times in your Bible, most notably here and over in Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Now listen, meditation is not where you're crossing your knees going, hum, nom, 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 all right? My legs are killing me. That's not meditation. The word meditate means to chew upon. It means to consider. It means to stimulate our minds. The Bible says His delight or His joy, His excitement, His anticipation. Kids delight, not in school starting, but in school ending. Right? There's some kids that delight in school starting. Kids delight in activities. Right? Kids delight in events. Kids delight in birthdays and Christmases. I've told people many a times, the majority of my life, man, it could be my birthday every day if you'll give me a present. Praise God. I will accept presents on any day, not just a birthday or Christmas. But here, it says, His delight, His joy, His excitement. Where does it come from? His delight is in the law of the Lord. His joy, His excitement, His anticipation comes from the Word of God. Amen. Every day. Notice, it says, in His law doth he meditate day and night. Meaning that as he goes throughout the day, he's thinking about the things that God spoke to his heart about earlier. As he goes throughout his day and he's living his life, he's seeing as he follows the Word of God, this is what God meant. And that verse will just click in your head. There have been many times in my life, Brother Nick, where I'm living life and I'm doing the things that we're supposed to be doing. And then immediately there's a verse that pops in my head like, this makes sense. I never thought of that verse before. I never knew that that's what God meant. But here, if we dedicate ourselves to the Word of God, it'll bring delight. But it brings meditation. Why? Because we've prepared ourselves. We're chewing on, we're processing, we're thinking about, we're considering the Word of God in all of our actions, in our attitudes, in the things that we're doing. We're being prepared. In order to be dedicated to something, you've got to prepare for it. I think of a couple that's getting married. They are dedicated to their wedding. Well, they don't just show up on wedding day thinking that everything's going to be prepared for them. No, they spend the time preparing for that. They spend the time investing for that. They spend the time purchasing the things that need to be purchased, getting the group together and going over it time and time and time again to make sure that it's perfect the way that it's supposed to be. I remember when my wife and I got married, there was a lot of work that was involved. We tried to save as much money as we possibly could. We did a lot of stuff ourselves. We had blue and white and silver. It was royal blue, white and silver as the colors. She had bought white rose petals that were going to go up and down the aisle. And the flower girl's going to drop them until she ran off. But we couldn't buy royal blue rose petals. We couldn't buy them. Heather had this bright idea. She bought the white rose petals and cobalt coloring. And we boiled water and stuck the coloring in the water, and then we stuck the petals in there and set them out to dry. And we made our own royal blue rose petals. We spent a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of investment preparing for that day. We didn't just show up on May 21st and expect everything to go according to plan. As a matter of fact, on May 21st, anything that went wrong that day, I told specific guys, do not let any of this work get back to Heather. It's wedding day. She's not to know anything's going wrong. Man, I was standing on the, brother, I was standing on the backs of the pews fixing light bulbs because we had whole strands of lights that were out. I was reconnecting things, going through stuff, and we had already all had it all set up. All this stuff was going on. But we made sure that it was perfect. You didn't just show up and expect everything to be done. Now this, listen, this is how your Christian life ought to be. You've got to be deliberate, but you've got to be dedicated to it. You've got to be prepared. You've got to be purposeful in your walk with God. Delight in the law of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Don't just expect that you're going to learn the Word of God simply by osmosis. It doesn't work that way. We've got to meditate on it. We've got to apply the Word of God. Listen, I've been in church the vast majority of my life. I've been in the ministry since I was a teenager. And I am learning so much more today than ever before. I'm seeing things that are connected in Scripture in ways that I've never seen it before. Why? Because of constant meditation. Because of constant delighting. There's always areas where we can grow spiritually. We've got to be prepared. But also, verse 3 tells us we need to be planted. It says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Jesus Christ calls himself the living water. Remember, Jesus Christ is the Word that was made flesh. He dwelt among us, correct? The Word of God is living water in our lives. And we have got to be planted by the rivers of water. We've got to be planted by the place where the Word of God is going to speak to us. I've heard old preachers make this statement. I like to be under the spout where the glory pours out. Amen. I like to be in the place where I know God is going to speak to me and God is going to bless. I've got to be planted there. I've got to be rooted. I've got to be grounded in the things that God has for me. You see, when you're planted somewhere, that tree is going to grow the nourishment that it needs. It's going to get the water supply that it needs. It's going to be strong, it's going to be steady, but it's also going to supply others. And when we get rooted and grounded in things of God, our lives ought to be strong, our lives ought to be steady, and our lives ought to supply other people's lives. We should be like a tree planted. Also in verse 3, it says planted by the rivers of water, and it says it bringeth forth his fruit. Here we ought to be productive. We ought to be productive. We ought to be bearing fruit. Never once in my life have I seen a tree pull the fruit off of its own limb and begin to eat that fruit. Never once. But I have seen, and I've done it myself, I've walked up to an apple tree and I've taken an apple off and I've eaten it. I walked up to different fruit trees and garnered the fruit from. I've gone to the store and I've gotten the fruit that has come off of different trees. And I've enjoyed the fruit that was produced by a tree. Now, in your Christian life, other people ought to be able to get nourishment and support by the fruit that you bear. Other people ought to get some kind of supply from the fruit that we bear. We find in Galatians 5 the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to be teaching on Galatians here soon. We find the fruit of the Spirit. Understand that fruit is meant for other people in our lives. We get to produce that fruit, but others get to benefit from that fruit. Now we need to understand that. When we are productive, other people get benefits from God. See, we get blessed by God, and we get productive for God, and what happens? Other people get blessed because of our blessings. Does that make sense? We get blessings from God and we're able to produce things in our lives so that other people can be blessed. Our choir sings a song around patriotic services entitled Blessed to Be a Blessing. And we have been blessed so that we can in turn be a blessing to someone else. We've got to be productive in this area of our Christian lives. We've got to bring forth, and notice what it says. I believe every word of the Bible is inspired. It says that bringeth forth His fruit. That means you teenagers, you have fruit that you ought to be bearing, while your parents have fruit that they ought to be bearing. Does that make sense? Every one of us have fruit that we should be bearing. We should not just rest and rely on somebody else bearing fruit for us. That's not what happens. That's not how a tree produces fruit. You go out to the trees that we have out front. If one of the trees were beginning to die, we would go out there with a chainsaw and cut off the dying part. Because it has lost its purpose. It is dying and it's going to cause the rest of the tree to die. There are times where in the past, Brother Throne, I've gone out there on the tree line and you have those webs that get in the trees. We call them webworms. And it's a parasite. It's a disease that begins to kill the tree. And if you don't get rid of it, it will jump to the other trees around it and begin to destroy those other trees. And so there are times, listen, where we can bear fruit that is good, but there's also times in your life where you can bear fruit that ruins other people as well. We've got to be mindful of the kind of fruit that we're bearing. Be productive. It brings forth His fruit. Every one of us in here ought to be bearing some kind of fruit. I hear often from young people the question being asked, can you see growth in my life? That's a valid question. And it shouldn't just be young people that keep asking that question. It should be us as adults. Can others see growth in my life? Not so that they can make a name for myself. No. Not so they can say, oh, wow, he's growing spiritually. No. It's so that we know that we can be a blessing to somebody else down the road. It's so that changes are being made and it's being very evident in lives. Everybody grows at a different rate. And so here there's production that's being done, but also in verse 3, there's patience that must be done as well. It says he bringeth forth his fruit. Notice the next phrase, in his season. Brother Brad, your season's not my season. My season's not yours. We're all going to grow in different seasons. We're all going to grow in different rates. Some of you love the summertime. I'll pray for you. I love the wintertime. Y'all pray for me. There are some in here, your favorite season is fall. Others, your favorite season is spring. We all have different seasons that we like. We all have different seasons of our lives that we are currently in. We have some in here that are in the season of bearing fruit and raising and having children. Hey, we've got a child coming, amen. In a season of having children. There's others, that season of having children has passed and now you're raising said children. Then there's others that are in a season where you have no children in the nest. You're in new seasons. Every one of us are in different seasons of our lives. But with those seasons ought to constantly be growth. Are you listening? We ought to always have growth in our seasons. There are times, I understand, where you may have less growth in one season compared to the type of growth you have in another season. Okay? I understand that. But we ought to always have growth. Growth that's happening. Be patient. You're going to grow in seasons. As a young man that I knew, we were friends at one time. And he talked about his spiritual growth. Brother Roberto, his own words, he said he would grow a lot, real fast, and then he wouldn't grow for months. And then he'd grow a lot, real fast, and then he wouldn't grow. My words to him, and I told him, I said, that's not sustainable in your Christian life. He said, how is that not sustainable? Have you ever seen that fifth and sixth grader that grows up to be 6 foot tall, 6 foot five, and they got the coordination of a three-legged giraffe? Okay. They grow a whole lot, but then they've not grown into their bodies. They don't know how to operate. They're discombobulated in everything they do. Some of us are clumsy anyway. Amen. There are times where people will grow, and I've seen it even in plants. Plants will shoot up super fast, but they have no root. They have no depth. And because of that, as soon as a storm blows, they fall over. As soon as a problem arises, they're ripped out of the ground. They're gone. Why? Because they had no depth. They had no roots. We need to be very mindful of the germination process that ought to happen in our lives. Yes, I know that's a scientific term, but it's simply the growth process. When you plant a seed, there's a germination process where it begins to root itself in the ground and then it sprouts up. There ought to be some rooting that takes place. And in your Christian life, when you delight in the Word of God, when you meditate in the Word of God, you're going to be like a tree that's planted by the river of water. You're going to be rooted and grounded in the things of God. And you'll be able to bring forth fruit that can be carried on your branches. And then you'll be able to understand that those fruits are going to come in seasons. So you got to be patient. But also notice in verse 3, we also got to be prosperous. It says, his leaf also shall not wither. You say, well, I don't think that I'm bearing as much fruit as I did before. Well, are your leaves still green? Because if you're green, you're still growing. When you've changed the colors, you've lost the life. What happens oftentimes, Brother Thoreau, because we don't see specific fruit that we want to see, we think that we're not growing the way we should. We think there's a problem. Well, the Bible says you'll bring forth your fruit in your season, but notice he also attaches this caveat, his leaf also shall not wither. Meaning that pay attention to the branches, pay attention to what's happening in your life, and as long as you're still green, as long as you're still growing, the fruit's coming. It may not be there right now, but the fruit will come. It's got to bloom. I love magnolia trees. They are one of my favorites. I fell in love with magnolia trees right after Bible college. My wife and I got married, and I was working at the church, but I was also working as a pool boy, cleaning pools. And there was this very nice house that I would go and I would clean their pool. And they had this massive magnolia tree in their backyard. And you'd watch the little pods, and they would grow out, and then the leaves would blossom, the white flowers would blossom on the magnolia tree. The wind would blow and those leaves would come off, those white flowers would come off the tree and they would land in the pool. And you'd have these white flowers just floating along the pool. That's when I fell in love with magnolia trees. I just love magnolia trees. They're amazing. And I began to enjoy the fruit of the magnolia trees. But the reality is, magnolia trees, they don't have white flowers on them all year round. Right? Magnolia trees are a lot like evergreen trees where they do keep some greenery year round. So there's always growth. Even though you don't see the fruit that you like to see. You see, the idea is this, in your Christian life, strive for growth. Always strive for growth. The big growth of the fruit that's being produced, that's going to come. But don't get impatient. Continue to be content with the growth that's happening in your life. God will give you the fruit when your limbs can bear it. Are you listening? Limbs have got to be strong enough to bear apples and oranges. Tomato vines, the vines have got to be strong enough to bear the weight of the tomato. Okay? So the growth is going to happen. So be patient and allow the working of the Holy Spirit to happen in your life. But also be prosperous. Look at the end of verse 3. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's having the blessings of God. When you're dedicated to the things of God, God's going to be dedicated to your things. Brother John Wilkerson says it this way. He's the pastor of First Baptist Church in Hammond. He says it this way. When we get interested in God's big world, God gets interested in our little world. That's some truth and reality. There are times where we go to God and we just beg and beg and beg, but we're not interested in doing the things God's told us to do. We're not trying to make a difference in anyone's life. We're not trying to grow people. We're not trying to reach people for the call of Christ. But we expect God to answer all these prayers we ask. God will get interested in our little world when we're interested in His big world. Be prosperous. So here we're to be deliberate. Here we're to be dedicated. And lastly, verses 4 to 6, be destined. Be destined. Notice verse 4. The ungodly are not so. So here we're told the vast majority of this chapter is dealing with how to be blessed and how to be a godly man or woman. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Here, when you are destined to things, you understand. In verse 4, we need to be practical. When we are wavering in our decisions, when we are waffling about, when we are confused and we're constantly back and forth, that is signs in our lives that we are not planted, rooted, and established like we should be. When we're constantly going back and forth with, should I go to church or should I not go to church? No, make the decision to serve God and stay faithful to the decisions that you've established in your life. Amen. It was abnormally quiet when I said that. The Bible says our delight should be in the law of the Lord, and we should meditate in that. And if we're meditating in the Word of God, then we're going to want to associate ourselves with people who are also filling their minds with the Word of God. We are wanting to be in a place where we know the Word of God will be prevalent in our lives. So here, be practical. The ungodly aren't going to have this. Why? Because they're not following after the things of God. They're going to be the chaff which the wind drives away. They're going to be tossed to and fro, back and forth, constantly. The Bible says in the last days they're tossed about, pay attention, with every wind of doctrine. Whatever new thing comes up, they're going to jump on the bandwagon. Why? Because they're not rooted in anything. They're following whatever's popular. Verse 5 says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Here we are to be protected, meaning we are to be separated. The ungodly is not going to stand before God. The sinners are not going to stand in the presence of God's people. We've got to make sure that as we're living for God, we understand that we are also protected by God. As you follow after God, God will make sure that His protection and blessings follow your life as well. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The all these things that's mentioned in Matthew 6:34 are the things from the previous verses dealing with our food, our clothing, our shelter, all the things we need in life. If we seek after God, those things will follow us. Those things will be there in our lives. We'll be protected. And then verse 6 tells us, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Here we ought to be progressing. God knows us. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. God knows us. But Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him. See, God knows you. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me. God knows who we are. But let me ask you, are we striving to know Him? Are we striving to get to know the one who saved us? Do we know more about God today than we did about God the day we got saved? Are we trying to grow in our knowledge of God? Peter said in the book of 1 Peter that we ought to be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means we ought to be knowing about God and we ought to know God. And guess what? The more you know about God, the more you want to know God. How do I know more about God? You got to get in the Word of God. Verse 2, delight in the law of the Lord. Meditate in the Word of God. God knows us. Let's strive to get to know Him better. This morning, this is the truth I want to convey to you. I want to live a blessed life. But blessings don't happen by accident. We've got to be deliberate. We've got to be dedicated, and we've got to understand our destiny as well. Stand with me. With heads bowed, with eyes closed this morning. Do you want to live a blessed life? Do you want the hand of God upon your life? Do you want God's blessings to be poured out upon you? If so, let's take the truths that we've heard this morning, let's apply them to our lives. Blessings don't just happen for wishful thinkers. It happens for those that are doing. Every one of the things that were mentioned in verses 1 and 2 were action verbs. Blessed is the man that walketh not, nor standeth, nor sitteth. These are all action words. His delight shall be in the law of the Lord. In His law doth he meditate. Those are action. Meaning there are things that we must do if we're going to obtain the blessing of God. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Help us. We want to be blessed.